Hi, Pastor Bill Woods here, hoping that you're having a good day, hoping that you know that God loves you and that God is there to help you in every situation. Fact is, I've entitled this sermon, God's Thereness. Marty and I used to live up in the Columbia Gorge in a little town by the name of Stevenson, Washington, and we were across the river. On the other side was Oregon, and you could see, as you looked east, you could see Mount Hood, the peak of Mount Hood sticking up. It was beautiful, very scenic, and you know, it was always an inspiration to see what God's handiwork looked like. People living near Mount Hood have the privilege of enjoying its scenic beauty. On a clear day, this huge mountain can be seen for many miles. You can even see it if you're down near Portland, Oregon, maybe when you're crossing the I-5 bridge from Vancouver, Washington to Portland, Oregon, and you look up east to the up the river, and you can see about 80 to 100 miles away Mount Hood sticking up there. It's gorgeous. It's a landmark of wonderful beauty and mammoth proportions. Sometimes, though, atmospheric conditions are such that the peak is impossible to see. Fog may fill the valleys, blocking it from view, but Mount Hood is still there. Blizzards may turn the sky into swirling white, making the mountain invisible, but it's still there. Every night, darkness settles in the mountain, and the mountain again becomes invisible, but it's still there. As conditions change, people who live in that area don't ask, "Where is Mount Hood? It was here only yesterday." They're convinced it's there even though it can't be seen. It doesn't have to be seen in order to be believed. You know, God's like that, even more so. One day, Mount Hood will be gone, but not God, because God is eternal and will be here forever and ever. God's reality doesn't depend upon our being able to see Him or feel Him. The cynical sinner says God isn't real because he's never seen Him. I remember when I was in junior high and the Russians sent Sputnik up, and they had a Russian cosmonaut there. He said he went up and he looked all around. He saw lots of stars and saw things in space, but he didn't see God, so God must not exist. Well, I think he's probably changed his mind by now. I remember Madeline Murray O'Hare trying to take God out of the schools, the prayer and everything. And she was very successful, but she said she just didn't believe in God. Well, she's seen him now, and I believe that she believes he's very real. You know, people without faith are incapable of seeing or feeling God. Too bad a lot of Christians fall into this error of equating God's reality with His visibility. One of God's wonderful attributes is the fact that He's omnipresent, or He means He's everywhere. Right now, God's here with you. He's also in Tennessee with my daughters and her family. He's in Africa with our missionaries. He's everywhere. Not only that, He's able to personally be involved with everyone. Imagine, there are over 7 billion people in the world, and God knows each one by name, and He knows him so intimately that He even knows how many hairs they have on their head. What a wonderful God we serve. And yet, Christians going through hard times often feel that God has forsaken them, that He's left them alone. Not true. Any one of 1,000 things sometimes comes to Christians, you know, discouragement, disillusionment, disease, defeat. They may temporarily block our view of God, but God is still there just the same. He is the God who is there. Many Christians suffer spiritual defeat because they get discouraged and take their eyes off of God and feel that God has let them down. If only, you know, things changed. If only I could have different circumstances, I could believe in God. Notice where Jesus told his discouraged disciples to cast their nets again. It was in the same old place where they'd been fishing all night and they had caught nothing. I hear people say, if I could just move to a different place or get a different job, make different friends, have more time with my family. I wouldn't have such a hard time being a Christian. Well, if we went to some new place or a new situation, every time we get discouraged, trying again would be a lot easier, you know? But if we could be somebody else or go somewhere else or do something else, it might not be as hard to have the fresh faith and courage that we need. But it's the same old net in the same old pond for most of us. Old temptations are to be overcome, the old faults to be conquered, the old trials and discouragements that defeated us yesterday must be faced again today until we conquer them. We must win success where we are if we're to win it all. It's Jesus himself who, after all these toilful, disheartening efforts that we call failures, tells us to try again. The disciples who failed in faith and power after the crucifixion, remember they scattered like a covey of quail. Well, after Pentecost, they were filled with power for doing just what they'd failed to do in the old days. How many times have you become discouraged and felt that God no longer cared and that you just want to give up and say, well, what's the use, you know, because I can't go on? Maybe you felt like God was no longer there. God is always there, no matter where you are or what you face. God is there because he's omnipresent. Maybe clouds of discouragement have blocked your view of our Father in heaven. It's easy to get your eyes on people and off of God and get everything out of focus. Remember the story of Peter walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, he was fine. When he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves is when all of a sudden he was overwhelmed and panicky and began to sink. You know, little things can defeat our spiritual life. Wrong attitudes, loose tongue, critical spirit. Just little things that don't seem like much to us but bring disillusionment and block our view of God. I heard about a gun factory with a 500-pound, 8-foot-long steel bar suspended on a chain and a small cork on a string that was systematically bumping against that bar. And at first, you know, the cork didn't seem to make much difference as it hit the bar. And then after a while, the bar began to vibrate, and then it began to swing, and this little cork began to get it going in motion, and you would not imagine that something like that could happen. It doesn't take much to upset the workings and cloud out God's smile. It doesn't take much to become disillusioned or to cause others to become disillusioned. Even then, God is still there because he's omnipresent. He can be found if we will look. Or what about disease? Is God still there when you face suffering? How can God be a God of love and let good people suffer? How can God let me suffer? I remember hearing the story of General William Booth of the Salvation Army. He was the one that founded the Salvation Army. He was told that he was losing his eyesight and soon would be blind, and his reaction was, well, I've served God all these years with my eyes, now I guess I will serve him without my eyes. You know, suffering and disease may cloud our view of God, but he's still there. He's omnipresent. Our yieldedness to his will reveal this fact. Many Christians miss the fellowship with God and the blessing he has for them and are wondering if he's real because of their defeat in their spiritual lives. It's not God's will for us to be dwarfed in our experience by defeat. The Japanese have developed a technique where they can dwarf big trees and make them little trees that will fit in a flower pot. It's called a bonsai. And what they do, you know, is they cut the tap root and they put the tree while it's small, they put it in a flower pot and they cut roots and things. I don't know exactly how they do it all, but I know that the process is they usually have a maple tree 18 inches tall or something and it looks fully developed. You know, some Christians seem to do the same thing with their lives. They won't allow themselves to grow. They rob themselves of spiritual nourishment. They restrain the noble impulses of their nature. They shut out of their hearts the power of the Holy Spirit and are only dwarfed Christians when they could be strong in Christ with the abundant life which Jesus wants all of his followers to have. They dwarf themselves in spiritual things, and then when the going gets rough, they wonder why they don't have the strength to withstand the storm. Where is God? Doesn't he care? Well, God is there. One of his holy attributes that he has is he's omnipresent, and what a wonderful God we serve. We need faith that God's there and that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Faith will help us be sure of the God we can't see even during the stormy seasons. Faith helps us see the invisible. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith doesn't create God. It doesn't make something real out of that which is unreal. Faith asserts the there-ness of God even in the absence of his visibility. Faith can never ask, "Where is God?" Rather, faith points with a steady finger and confidently says, "God is there." Just before she died, my mom had an experience where she got very, very frightened in the dark. And my dad kept turning the lights off, thinking if she faced her fears, she should conquer it. And that was kind of the way he handled everything, was if you were afraid of something, you faced it and you conquered it. And mom was in such a poor condition that it just got on her nerves, something terrible, and she was frantic about it. Well, I prayed with mom about it, and God completely took that fear away. Praise God. May God help us to exercise a faith that assures us of his there-ness. From every indication, we are facing some rough days just ahead of us. There's predictions about food shortages, fuel shortages, devalued money, inflation, and along with all this, they say that we will face persecution, especially Christians are going to face persecution. Remember, whatever you face, God is still there, and he promised he would never leave you or forsake you. He also promised that he would give you strength for whatever you have to face. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, "Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be." I heard a story one time about a construction worker that was working in a big city. He was about a block away from a church, and every noon when he'd take his lunch break, he'd walk down the church, he'd walk in the church, he'd peek into the sanctuary and say, "Jesus, it's Jim." And he'd turn around and leave. The pastor began noticing this every day at noon as a fellow would come in and say through the door, "Jesus, it's Jim," and then go away. Well, one day, Jim didn't show up. In fact, for about a week, Jim didn't show up, and the pastor wondered what happened to him. And so he went down and inquired at the construction crew, and they found out Jim got injured. It was pretty bad injury, and he was in the hospital. And so the pastor asked, "Which hospital?" And he then went up to see Jim, and he said, "Jim," he said, "I'm sorry that I haven't been here. I didn't know that you were injured." And Jim says, "Oh, that's all right." He says, "You know, I don't feel like I've been alone." And the pastor says, "Well, I understand, as I've talked to the nurses, nobody comes to see you." And Jim says, "No, that's not true." He said, "Every day at noon," he said, "I hear a scuffling in the hall." And he said, "The door opens to my room just a little bit. And I hear this magnificent voice say, 'Jim, it's Jesus. Jesus hasn't forgotten me.'" You know, you might be thinking, "I don't know if I'm brave enough or strong enough to take a stand when persecution comes." Well, let me assure you that God gives you strength when you need it. You don't need that extra grit right now, but God will give that to you when the time comes that you need it, and not before that time. When you face persecution, sickness, death, financial ruin, or anything that comes, you will have the strength that you need if you depend upon God. You just don't need that strength today. I hear people say, well, I'm afraid to die. Well, God will be there to help you through that event too if you're serving Him. You don't need dying grace today, but you'll have it when you need it. What you need today is the grace to live a Christian life for Him right now. God is always there, and God will faithfully carry you through to victory. Have you made room in your life for a God that's always there? Well, He has made room for you, and I would encourage you to accept His invitation to have your sins forgiven and let Him be your Savior and your Lord and your protector. I want to pray with you. Dear Jesus, I pray that You'll help each one of us, the people that are listening to this podcast, me and anybody else, Lord, that needs to know that You're there today, needs to know that You take care of our needs, needs to know that whatever comes up, You're capable of handling it, and You're not going to leave us to flounder by ourselves. I pray that You'll help each one of us, Lord, to draw near to You, and people that don't know You as their personal Savior. Father, I would ask that You'll help them to repent of their sins, confess their sins to You, and quit sinning, and begin to live the life that You want them to live for Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to say I love You today, and I just pray, God, that You'll be with the people that are listening, and no matter what they're going through, they will remember that Almighty God is still there, and they can depend upon Him. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening today, and I would like to encourage you to know that God will never let you down if you'll be faithful to Him. If you want to get in contact with me, you know that my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. My mailing address is William W. Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. I keep thinking we're going to be able to get this website going, but so far we haven't made connections with the guy that's going to help me do it. And so we're going to keep hanging on. But in the meantime, I want you to know God's there, and God's going to take care of your needs if you let Him. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And as we look forward to Thanksgiving, I hope that you'll realize that God is there to help you in that too.